G'day, Navicastrians. Welcome to the Jetstream, broadcasting on Football Nation Radio, Thursdays at 12 p.m, streaming on newcastlefootball.net, Spotify and TuneIn, or available via download on your podcast app, Apple, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, or just search Jetstream and whatever app you're using at the moment. A happy new year to everybody. This one will be going out on New Year's Day. That falling on a Wednesday this year. Hope everybody's not too hungover from the New Year's Eve celebrations. I know I may be because I've got the day off, and we'll see how we go. So we're going to quickly chat over the round 12 result where we drew one all against Brisbane at home. The A-League team lost, unfortunately, 2-1 away in Brisbane, and then we'll quickly preview the W League doubleheader. The W League and the A-League doubleheader down in Melbourne against Melbourne Victory at Amy Park on Sunday. It's just the one special guest joining me today, and it's a big welcome to Andy. Thanks for coming on, mate.
A very special guest, you might say. Great to be here, Ferns. Let's get into it.
Yeah, thanks for joining us. Everyone's obviously out doing New Year's Eve preparations for tomorrow. We're recording this on a Monday night, and obviously with work and holidays and everything, it's a bit we're a bit light on tonight. But Andy and I will discuss everything. Just before we get into it, we'll get to the opening question first. Andy, what was your best New Year's Eve party or celebration you went to?
It wasn't really the best, but obviously. Previous to the job I had now, I was working in the hospitality industry, and which meant working a lot of New Year's. And probably one of the best thing about that is that, you know, you are the king of the universe at midnight when everyone starts wanting drinks again. So that's always an interesting, you know, time to be alive.
Oh yeah, definitely. So carried a bit of a stash around for yourself, did you?
Oh, always get to carry a lot of stuff around in that kind of work environment, especially once you kick everyone out for the night and just sort of carry on there with whatever you can find. So it's good times.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, for me, I think just before my first daughter was born a fair while ago now, it's about probably 15 years ago, we ended up winning, my missus and I ended up winning tickets in one of the Sydney radio competitions. We got tickets for a New Year's Eve party down at, I'm trying to remember where it was. I think it was Darling Harbour or one of those clubs down there. And yeah, got free entry. They were $150 tickets. So we were pretty happy with that. And the whole evening was sponsored by Midori. So it was Midori Illusions for jugs of Midori Illusions all night. So it was, it was a great night. Very messy the next day, but it was back when I drank stuff other than rum. It's obviously a long time ago now, but that was probably right down on the harbour, and you know your harbour hadn't been ripped up and rebuilt, and the fun police weren't as narky as they are now. So that was probably my best one. If you've got one, just send us a. Or link us, tweet us on at Jetstream Niwi on the Twitter, and just let us know, or on the Facebook post when we post this episode up, let us know what your best or favourite New Year's Eve celebration was, and we hope everybody had a good New Year's, even though there's going to be a raft of cancellations for fireworks and stuff around the place. It looks like Newcastle is going to be the only one, depending on whether the fire ban comes into effect. But hope everybody had a good celebration. All right. So we'll get into talking about round 12, Andy. And Saturday, the 28th of December, saw us drawing 1-1 at McDonald Jones Stadium to the Roar. Just as sort of an overall thing before we get into specifics, how did you see the game? I think most people, if you haven't seen my and Dave's comments after the game, Dave, myself and Dr. Emma did the post-match video straight after the game. We were a bit negative about it. I think in hindsight, I'm probably a little bit more even-handed. It was probably more the first half performance that I was probably a bit unhappy with, but we'll get into that when we talk about our good, bad and undecided. How did you see the game?
Yeah, I would have to agree that if you look at sort of the stats and the movement within the first half, it was definitely more of a missed opportunity for Brisbane. They had a lot more sort of going forward chances on goal, especially in that sort of first 30 minutes. You look at the overall stats for the game, and I think the result was probably fair of it, but overall positive to see that we can actually score goals, but again, just those 1% errors that are letting us down in the final third that are leading to goals that, you know, either we have to be that team that can score more than, you know, we let in, or we have to be, you know, switched on for the full 96, 97, 98 minutes, whatever it ended up being in the end with the whole Jamie Young cutting his chin or whatever happened. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, that was interesting. I'd probably want to apologise. We in the ground couldn't see any issues with Jamie. We just thought he was down trying to soak up time, but we were sort of made aware by the comments in the post-match video that he actually did get collided with before he made that second save. And he had a pretty decent gash to the side of his head. So, you know, we were sort of calling into question whether he was just down, you know, soaking up the time, and there was nothing wrong with him because he did. Now, nobody in the stadium saw it because he definitely copped the boos when he bounced up to his feet and seemed to be okay. So, yeah, if that was the case, then yeah, we apologise. We weren't trying to say it, but we, you know, gamesmanship is part of football, unfortunately, and it's just hard to know nowadays whether somebody's legitimately you know, got an issue or whether they're down in the 90th minute trying to soak up time, even though the referees are supposed to add all that time onto the final total. So did you see anything with Jamie Young in that last bit that made you think that he actually had an injury?
I didn't actually see the contact. I was at home watching it from the, you know, comfort of my couch because I can do those things. But yeah, I didn't really see the collision. I saw, you know, two people, Jamie and whoever it was, go for the ball, and it looked like he did sort of cop it, and you'd think that maybe there was a foul there, and you've seen them given for a lot less. But I think just in the flow of the game, that's one thing that referee is known for. He does let it flow as much as he can. So, but yeah, I was the same when he was just kind of laying there, really not moving at all. You're like, oh, this is going one or two ways. Either he's completely concussed and knocked out, or he's just having a lie down hoping for time to fly past. And that's the modern game these days. So
yeah, exactly right. Well, I mean, we had Fagani as the ref, the man with his own name on his boots, like a proper player. Obviously, he's the import ref, which I was so a little surprised that he was refereeing a bottom of the table clash. But how did you see his performance? We ended up with three yellow cards, whereas Brisbane only got one. So obviously, we were doing a lot more defending. He did seem to let a fair bit go. He lets the game flow a little bit, but maybe you know, that can be a good and a bad thing. Sometimes a ref that lets a few fouls go then sort of can't start pulling people up on the same fouls later on. It just, there seemed to be a lot of niggly fouls that seemed to go unpunished, especially from their side. We, like I said, we ended up getting a couple more yellow cards than Brisbane did. How did you see Fagani's performance?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Fagani, but one of the things that, yeah, as you said, he does definitely let a bit too much go, that then I think it becomes a bit hard for him to be the, you know, tough cop after a while, when players can easily say, well, look, precedence, you've let that go in the first half and now all of a sudden you're pulling me up. What's the go there? But no, I think he's a great referee for allowing it to flow the way he does, and he seems to be more keen to sort of go and have a quick chat with you for a while, and then he'll eventually start pulling cards out if you continue to do it. So lets the game flow, and the only thing is, he seems to, when he does blow the whistle, he blows it a lot, which can get a bit frustrating, but that's all good.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so looking at the starting lineups, we were pretty happy. I think we said in the pre-match video that we were very happy that it was finally confirmed that Bobby Burns got his first start of the season. Lasted 72 minutes. He's actually my good one for talking about this match. I was quite impressed with him. He was quite solid down that left-hand side, made a couple of good runs, put some good balls into the box. There was one there that would have been a peach for a striker to get onto if only someone had made a far post run. But That was my good. Well, how did you see first off the starting lineup? Were you hoping to see maybe one or two more changes, or were you pretty happy with that? And how did you see the performance of Bobby Burns in his first start?
I think from the changes, the only one that I kind of questioned was I said in the last pod, I think it was, that I don't really see why Fitzgerald is missing out. But I guess Hoffman has got the goals on the board, so that's always going to help him in retaining his spot, and just that versatility that he can move as the game flows on. If, you know, we don't have any subs left and someone's hurt, he's that sort of utility player in the squad. Bobby Burns, I was pretty skeptical of him for a while there when he wasn't in the team, but, and it's only been one performance, but it was definitely a solid performance. And he, with the excuses we've heard that he can't handle the heat and whatever else, he played a lot longer than he has in the past. So whether that's just getting that fitness and exposure to the elements up more and maybe putting in a bit more training. But it really makes you wonder, does he stay in that starting spot, or does Ernie sort of maybe look to deploy him as an early sub around that sort of 50, 60 minute mark and have the fresh legs to be able to just bomb on for the last 20 minutes, depending how the game's going?
Yeah, maybe it might be an opportunity to bring Katrumbas on with fresher legs, or maybe even play someone else in that position. But yeah, it's a good point. I'll talk about Fitzgerald in sort of relation to another in relation to my undecided in a minute. But we'll quickly go over the stats for the game. Obviously, the possession ended up, it was actually first half, I think I saw it flash up on the board at halftime, was something like 65% to the Roar and 35% to the Jets. It ended up sort of evening out a little bit more over the course of the game, where it was 43% to the Jets, 57% to the Roar. They won a lot more of the aerial duels, 62-38, which I was sort of a little surprised with our aerial prowess of Topol Stanley and Jackson. 9 interceptions to 11, 3 offsides to 4, 5 corners to 7. Fair few passes, 431 to us, 557 to Brisbane. So they definitely had the possession and more of the ball there. Passing accuracy was 75-80, so that was fairly decent. 15 crosses to the Jets, 24 to Brisbane, although we'll talk about in a minute, they didn't really seem to do much with it. 13 shots to 18, 7 shots on target from us. A lot of them got blocked by Jamie Young. 3 shots to Brisbane Roar, obviously one of them went in. Shots outside the box, 2 to 0. So a lot of the Brisbane Roar shots came from outside the box. We had 2 shots from outside the box. They had 9. We had 11 shots from inside the box and they had 9. Shooting accuracy, 54% to 16% for Brisbane. So you can see the issues that Brisbane are having with their strikers. And obviously it was a bit of a surprise to see Roy O'Donovan on the bench. Andy, we thought that, you know, he'd be keen to get on against his old team and make a bit of an impact, but Robbie sort of benched him. Robbie Fowler benched him, maybe due to not scoring as much as he should have in the last couple of games, and he and Robbie gave a starting debut to a young player. I'm just pulling his name up. Where is he? Mirza Miradovic. So young forward, and I thought he didn't do too badly, but he really didn't get very much service. How did you see the Brisbane side of things? Like we were saying before, they had a fair bit of possession in the first half. That's not to say we didn't have a couple of attacking forays into the box when we actually did have the ball, but they had a lion's share of the possession, but just sort of seemed to pass it around, pass it back, and try to chip the ball over, and all our defence was pretty much dealing with that all day.
Yeah, I think that was sort of the game plan that they seemed to have, and there was actually a very interesting exchange in the post-match presser with the Herald's James Gardner and Robbie Fowler sort of going at it, when James Gardner asked why Roy O'Donovan wasn't starting, was there, you know, all this, and Robbie sort of went on a rant about how he gets the sentimental value, but he's not here to please the Newcastle Jets fans, and that Roy was left on the bench because essentially he has to, you know, I don't know
earn his place.
If it was an attitude problem, but yeah, really.
Yep. He's got to earn his place. Well, I mean, I don't know whether benching Roy was actually – I think benching Roy actually pleased the Newcastle crowd more. I think we were probably more worried about what he'd do if he actually started. So I don't know why Robbie was barking up that tree there. That seems a little bit seemed a little bit counterproductive.
Well, and more so, like, if the game's there to be – you know, you're chasing the game, you bring Roy O'Donovan on, who just is going to run for that last 15, 20 minutes nonstop, you're obviously – going to get some joy out of it. And I'm pretty sure he got a shot on target, or at least was, you know, there and thereabouts. But overall, there, the Brisbane Roar team, I think is, yeah, just that team that just needs a couple of things to go their way. They're the same as us, is, you know, those few chances go in and they could be well up there. But at the moment, things just aren't going their way, and that's causing issues and keeping them down the lower end of the table.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, you look at the issue we've had with one player from the UK adjusting to, you know, the heat of Newcastle. Imagine what half of their team that Robbie brought over from the UK to avoid Brexit, come over to Brisbane up in Queensland, where it's, you know, steamy tropical weather, and they've had sort of no acclimatization period at all. So it's going to take these players time to adjust and be able to adjust to our pitches, because our pitches are a lot harder than the pitches over in the UK. The weather's completely different. You've got to play the game in a completely different way. It just takes time. So, I mean, I think Robbie will probably come good, but they just need to it's not good at the moment, but he's a first-time coach. He's got a lot of new players in. The club's been sort of up and down all over the place since Ange left. So he's got to be given time to be able to bed this stuff in and be able to get done what he wants to do. It's, you know, you got no threat of relegation, so you should be able to give a coach time to enact all that sort of stuff. I mean, you know, it doesn't happen overnight. You've got to be very lucky to be able to, you know, strike gold straight away. So, we'll quickly talk about the goals first before we get into the good, bad and undecided. 31st minute sees the Jets go ahead 1-0 with a lovely little floated Stevie UG cross into the box that Hoff got under the end of, shot straight into to Jamie Young. He was hoping to slide it underneath him, but Young was down very smartly to parry the ball away. But for once, we had another player rushing into the box to get onto to the knockdown, and Dimmy was Johnny on the spot and put the ball into the net, sending the crowd into raptures, considering we hadn't scored in two games. Well, we hadn't gone ahead in quite a few games, and it will look like we were, you know, getting a bit of confidence, and we'd not got much of the possession, but we'd managed to go ahead. So how did you see the goal?
Yeah, when Hoffy took the shot, it was a brilliant ball from Miller to pick him out, and Hoffy did well to stay onside. I actually thought at one point there they might have had a bit of a sneaky look at it for potentially offside, but he was definitely on.
Yeah.
Once he hit it and Jamie Young got it, I was just like, I'm a massive fan of Jamie Young. If we ever, you know, when Glenn Moss does retire to the goalkeeping coach ranks, we need to throw all the Ledman screens we can at Jamie Young to get him to come here, because that's the only thing we can deal with at the moment is LED screens. But yeah, for that goal, he just straight away just is so agile to get down and then get back up again and reset. But Dimmy coming in, I for a minute thought, oh, here we go, this is going to end up in the Waratah Kmart car park. But he managed to keep it down, and they even made reference in commentary that his celebration was quite, you know, he just ran over and gently tapped the corner flag. He didn't kick it into Bay, whatever it is up there. So
he's probably on a few yellow cards, so he probably didn't want to get suspended for the next game.
Yeah, but overall, like, such a good goal. And it's one of those games, I think, where the stats don't really show exactly how the game goes. Like for us playing more of a counter attacking style of football, you usually expect that we won't get the lion's share of possession.
Yep.
And I think that's always the key with our games. And had we won, it would have been the discussion point that even though we didn't have as much possession, we still came with the result.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll get onto that, and like I said, in the underside a bit. You did mention that Jamie Young got down smartly for that. He also did two other saves in the final sort of 8 to 10 minutes. One before and one after the Brisbane Roar equalised. Obviously, a mistimed header from one of the Roar defenders that put Angus Thurgate through, and you know, I was so I wasn't disappointed in him. I was disappointed for Gussie because we just needed to lift that ball up. But those sort of quick decisions is something that sort of comes with experience. The young kid's still learning. He's done really well. Subbing in for Arroyo because he's injured and only just coming back to start running now, and hopefully he'll be back in a couple of weeks once he gets his recovery finished. But I was not his fault. You can only ask your striker to have a go. He did have a go. Unfortunately, Jamie Young was just better. And that, like, I was having an argument with somebody on one of the Facebook posts about him. He should have done this and he should have done that. He's just not good enough. And I was just like, well, look, the kid's only like 19. Give him a break. He's been playing youth league. The youth league keepers are a lot worse than the A league keepers. Yeah, it's a higher intensity. The players are better. It's a period of adjustment, and he's only started playing regularly in the last 3 or 4 weeks. So you can't expect. Everybody can't be Joey Champness. So, you've got to give these players time and the ball will go in. He's getting into those positions and he'll learn from that. And hopefully next time you might try lofting it over the keeper, or you might even, flick it off the outside of his boot, go around him and then put the ball into the open net. That's the sort of thing that comes with experience. If he was a player that was scoring, 2-3 goals every week, he wouldn't be playing for the Jets. He'd be overseas playing in Japan or somewhere else. So, you've got to give these players time to adjust to that sort of thing.
Yeah, not only that, but I have to admit I haven't been to many. I think I went to one youth league game at Western or something like that a few years ago, and youth league games don't have 8,000 to 10,000 people there, chanting and yelling at you as you've gotten a runaway and all this sort of stuff. So there's that element as well. But I think one of the things that when he got that, I think one, it was the, oh crap, this has actually, happened again, where it's bounced over the last line and I'm away on goal. Jamie Young is, again, an incredible goalkeeper that makes himself as big as he can. And you've also got the fact that there was no one in support, really.
He was way ahead of everyone else.
When he did that against whoever it was, that, he did the cutback and Dimmy put it in the goal. Dimmy was up there. There were other players up there, whereas if this time it was a truly one-on-one situation, his only option was, how do I shoot? And again, when you've got Jamie Young making himself as big as he can, you're only got so many options, and none of us nor the people that are heaping shit on him could do that. So
yeah exactly. Yeah, definitely. All right, so we had led right up until the 86th minute when a ball into Brad Inman sees him tightly control it, spin around on the turn and put an absolutely wonderful strike into the goal. I was watching the replay back, and Jackson was very tightly marking him. So, I don't know. There's some goals that you really not much you can really do to defend against. You just got to take your hat off to a player that, has been looking for a goal and ended up getting one. There's individual brilliance is to give a Ned Zelichism. Can you really blame the maybe slightly different positioning from Jackson maybe would have blocked that shot, or were you happy with the way that happened? You just got to take your hat off and say, well done, Brad Inman.
Yeah, no, definitely a well done to Brad Inman. Like, I'm one of those people that firmly believes in that for, you know, the old sort of cliche that they say to you when you start playing football, that it's got to get through everyone else to get to the goalkeeper or the centre backs or whatever else. And for him to be in that position, yeah, sure, Lockie Jackson probably could have done a little bit more, but you're not always going to stop quality. And that was one of those things where, you know, he took it well to control it, to spin and have a crack on the turn. And that, you know, may go in one out of five times, and that was the one time that it went in.
Can't really do much about it. All right. So we'll go through the good, bad, and undecided. Like I mentioned before, my good for this game was Bobby Burns. I thought, like I mentioned, I thought he performed really well for a player that's come in for his first game and needed a long period of adjustment to adjust to the different conditions and different weather and everything else. How did you see Bobby Burns? Do you think he's going to be nailed on for that starting berth every week?
Yeah, well, Ernie did say in the media today that it'll be pretty well an unchanged lineup going into next game. So I think my biggest concern isn't with Bobby Burns, it's with the options that come on for him when he does come off. If he is only going to continue to be that 60-70 minute player, and then you're going to bring on, like, that definitely created holes when he was replaced. So that's going to be an area that I think is going to have to be sorted out. And whether, you know, if it's the right time, does Hoffey drop back instead of perhaps bringing on Katrumbis in that role, because he just seems to be making a few little mistakes. But on the positive, yeah, I totally agree. I think Bobby Burns was up there, if not the player of the match for me.
What was your good for the game?
My good for the game was just the fact that we did actually create opportunities. We, you know, Gus with his runaway, the fact that he got in that position to have that shot was brilliant. Dimmy's awareness for his goal to follow in, knowing that, you know, Jamie Young is a goalkeeper that is going to push the ball out more times than he'll catch it. And I think if you are aware of that, you can potentially get some joy if you're a player like Dimmy that's there to really get that more or less poacher style goal. So yeah, I think just our ability to create chances and keep following through, and it really got to that. When Roy come on, I started to feel a little bit like, oh, maybe he will get that, you know, consistent team, like, goal against his former team. But, yeah, I didn't expect the final goal to come from where it did.
Yeah. All right. Well, my bad, or it was sort of more frustration than anything else with the tactics in the first half. We seem to, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, Andy, but we seem to go back to our old style of letting the opposition have the ball and then hitting on the counter. But the hallmark of that was the press, and there just wasn't any. We weren't hunting in packs. We weren't harrying the players that had the ball to try and get the turnover so that we could then break up field with one-on-ones and overlaps and overloads on their defense. We were just letting them have the ball and pass it around and waiting for them to misplace a pass rather than actually going and forcing the issue. It seemed to change partway through the second half. I put a tweet out, I think about the 65th minute, saying, have we finally worked out that attack is the best form of attack against Brisbane? Because we seem to be getting a lot more joy once we actually started getting at them, looking at them, and we finally decided these are rubbish. We can actually get at them. All we need to do is if they've got the ball, race at them and force a turnover, or run at them when we've got the ball instead of just, you know, passing it backwards and forwards between each other. What was your assessment of that?
Yeah, I think with the joy that we did seem to get a little bit was from that, having both fullbacks in Burns and Miller being able to actually get down the line a bit. But they were also, I felt that Miller was a little bit man marked in this game, that he wasn't having the usual impact that he would. I think overall we have sort of continued on this wanting to play the way we did in the season where we went to the grand final without actually realizing that some of the players and some of the main players in sort of Andrew Nabut who have lost that out wide pace. And especially when you do play players like, you know, Fitzgerald, who has the pace but may not have necessarily the composure in the final third to put it away, then you're not really going to get much joy out of playing that style of football. So I think we just need to maybe look at ways to build up the play and actually keep it on the deck a bit more and not put so many balls over the top all the time and leave the balls over the top to, yeah, your Burns and your Miller that can essentially take it from just outside the 18 and drop it on the spot on a dime type deal.
Yeah, or well, at least if we've got, you know, Fitzgerald and Hoffman up front, like not being, well, Fitzy actually being on the park, it sort of gives us that extra play with speed to be able to do that. But yeah, no, definitely agree. All right, what was your bad for the game?
My bad, and I hate saying this in a way, but Pat Langwaer, I just didn't think had a good game. There was a lot of just easy turnovers, and that's been a bit of a problem for us in our last few games, that turned it over in the centre of the park just way too easily. And, yeah, there was a few times where he was either caught out of position or turned the ball over a bit too easily. And, yeah, he seems to be quickly becoming him and Gus are sort of the players that Ernie's going to take under his wing a bit this year, and he needs to sort of sort that part out of his game to just be more aware of his surroundings, I guess.
Yeah, well, I mean, that sort of really links into my undecided, and we can sort of discuss it all as sort of one thing if you want. The midfield setup for me was a little bit weird. I sort of highlighted, agree that having Langwaer there next to Canner sort of nullifies Stevie Eugene and leaves him at a sort of a loss. So we don't think he really knows what he's expected to do. Our midfield two of Jugarkovic and Kanarovsky is our strongest midfield, but we seem to be trying to shoehorn Langwaer, and he's a good young player, but maybe we're trying to put too much on him too soon, playing him in that position and in that role. I would like to see us maybe using him more as a sub and bringing and using Fitzgerald from the start rather than having Langwaer in there and sort of getting Stevie to run forward, because Stevie's good when I think better when he's sort of more central and doing that more box to box thing. But when if it's not done right, he sort of gets in Demi's way a little bit, I think. It's sort of really difficult to get that balance right. So maybe shuffling that around might be something that Ernie's looking at over the next couple of weeks, and it's certainly going to help when he gets more options back with Arroyo back in training and Wes Houlihan finally getting off the bike and looks like he's ready to start running next week. So hopefully we're going to be seeing him in the next sort of 4 to 6 weeks as well, once he starts getting his physical fitness up. But we're sort of stuck at the moment with players that are available, and what we've tried previously hasn't really worked. So I understand why Ernie's sort of trying something different, and maybe it just needs a few more tweaks, because obviously the whole Rydenton and midfield sort of, I think Ernie's finally realised that that's not really reaping any benefits for us. That's why he's kept Stevie and Canner on the park. But with the way that the midfield's been deployed, it's really sort of leaving Stevie UG's been our player of the match pretty much consistently with his work rate and breaking up play and passing in the middle of the park. But when he's sort of shunted out the right to fit Langwaer in there next to Canner, he's sort of at a loss, and I doubt he's sort of really figured in the man of the match voting over the last couple of weeks. So yeah, what do you think?
Yeah, I just had to check if I was sharing screens with you or something, because that was pretty much the exact interesting point that I had. Just that middle sort of area of the park to have push Stevie out wider and play Canner and Langwaer in the middle. Yeah, I guess totally agree. It looks like we're sort of shoehorning Langwaer into a position just to put him in the team and see what he can do. And I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that, you know, we do get, sure, we haven't got as much joy in the last few rounds, but we usually get pretty consistent effort from Stevie and Canner in the middle. And again, if you're leaving players like Fitzgerald out simply to have your recent, you know, lack of better words, toy brought in, which has always been the thing with Radenton, it's like you're just trying to find him a place in the squad. And if we're doing that with Langwan now and players like Fitzgerald, who I think has just got to get that one, I think I've said once before that he reminds me of Andrew Hull when we had him, that, you know, Hulley would do these great runs and then get into the box and either fall over or kick it over the bar. So,
yeah,
we just...
He loved that.
We need that. You know, you could play Hoffy on the right behind Gus and put Fitzgerald on the left or vice versa and have a bit more of that pace. And whilst Stevie is a quick player and a direct runner, he, I think, as you said, is best served in the middle of the park where he can be going box to box a little bit more. Langwa, when he's done well, has been off the bench when people are tiring. So maybe they should look at that again, but Ernie has said it's pretty much going to be the same team. So I guess we'll go with it and see if it just had to take an extra week to get it vetted in.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I hope that, I mean, I'd like to see Fitzgerald come back into the starting 11 and play with Canner and Stevie as the midfield two, and then sort of have the four up front with Fitzgerald, Hoffman, Thurgate and Dimmy, and just sort of run that attacking diamond and see how that works. And, you know, then those players can sort of get backwards and forwards, the slightly wider players of Hoffy and Fitzgerald can sort of get back and help in defence if we turn over possession. But yeah, well, obviously we're not the coach. We'll see what Ernie's plans are to fix things in the coming weeks. What was your undecided?
My undecided would have to be, that's a tough one. I would say just the formation in general. It seemed to, like, it was pretty much the same 2-2-2-2 that we played the previous week, but it just seemed to work a bit better. I don't know whether it was just, you know, having players have a bit more defined roles or whether we got a bit more joy out of that left-hand side. I think just on paper it looks like a weird formation, but I think on the park it gives a bit more freedom for players to move a bit more and they're not as structured, which can be, you know, good and can be bad depending how it sort of goes. So, but, yeah, it will be interesting to see when we come up against much more, know, your Sydneys and stuff like that, we may be left a bit too exposed, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. So who was your man of the match?
For me, it would have to go to Bobby Burns at this point. I think when he came off, it left a bit of a hole that became very easy to exploit. And whilst Katrumbas has been great for the club and, you know, has had a fairly rough year and whatnot with his illnesses and whatnot, he just at the moment doesn't seem to be, whether it's he's not enjoying his football or things just don't seem to be clicking for him. And with the performance on the weekend from Burns, he's going to have to do something fairly wrong, I think, to lose that spot. So that would be why he's my man of the match.
Yep, no worries. I'm going to pick Topol purely on the absolute spray he gave one of the linesmen when one of the Brisbane Roar players got the ball and was in an offside position, and the linesman didn't put his flag up. Topol was, I think everybody in the stadium pretty much heard him say for F's sake, he's offside, and then the linesman put the flag up, and I think half of the Western grandstand was laughing at that point. It was quite funny. So he's been a great captain. He's been very good with Jackson. in the absence of Bugard, who's a regular captain. So I couldn't see him do much wrong at all. I think I saw one misplaced pass from Jackson. So I think our defence, but like I said, just on the basis of Topor screaming at the linesman and getting an offside call after the fact was probably the reason why I'd give Topor that one. All right. So if anyone else had, I don't have the man of the match voting results in at the moment because, like I said, we're recording this on Monday and I think Dave's currently travelling at the moment for work. So we'll definitely pop up the results for that on Facebook and Twitter when we get them in. All right, the round 7 clash in the W League the following day, Sunday the 29th, saw the women's team up in Brisbane losing 2-1 to the Roar. You saw this, so what was your brief summation of this game?
Yeah, it was a game that if it wasn't for Claire Coelho, we would have been 6-0, 7-0 down by the first 30 minutes. Brisbane come out strong, looking at some stats for that. Brisbane 64% possession to Newcastle's 36. Attempts on goal 34 to Brisbane to 8 for the Jets. 8-7 for fouls, so pretty consistent on that. Corners 11 to Brisbane, 4 to the Jets. Just looking at that, you can pretty much paint a picture of how it went. Hayley Rasso was just absolutely turning it on. And you look at the squad for, you know, Brisbane is another one of those teams that's just packed with Matildas. You've got Mackenzie Arnold, Claire Polkinghorne, Yallop, Katrina Gorry, Hayley Rasso. Like, you've got a huge chunk of the current Matildas squad. And, yeah, Hayley Rasso was just absolutely peppering. It was one of the, lesser games that Hannah Brewer and Cassidy Davis has had. They were letting quite a few shots through. For Grelo to just be an absolute rock, and then it was a sort of counter-attacking play that Tara Andrews got on the end of to score the first goal, and it was that typical, you know, Brisbane had all the possession, but we got the first goal. And then it wasn't long into the second half that, or just before halftime, that Claire Polkinghorne got a header. And then in the 69th minute, Holly Palmer scored another one to get the 2-1 victory for the Brisbane Roar. So, yeah, definitely, again, just that performance that they were sloppy at the beginning, and it was only due to some individual brilliance that we managed to keep in the game. I don't know whether it's the formation that they play, but it doesn't seem like there is, when the Jets do break, it's usually Tara Andrews, Nikki Flannery, Tegan Collister, or sometimes Jenna Kingsley, but there's never any support there. So I don't know if they need to maybe change their formation up a bit and look more at a like 4-4-2 type setup, because yeah, they end up playing Tara Andrews quite deep and having Nikki Flannery up front a lot of the time, but she's like, Tara Andrews is more the goal scorer, so it's an interesting way of setting up. But I think we're going to have another season with the Jets W League team that is, you know, there or thereabouts, but probably miss out on finals again. But I am very positive about where the W League's heading. I think if we can keep this team together for a few years and maybe add a few little bits of quality here and there, then in the future we're going to be having a very different conversation about the W League team.
All right, no worries. All right, well, round 8 in the W League on Sunday, like I said before, doubleheader at Amy Park against the Melbourne Victories. So the first game is at 4:30 p.m. at Amy Park, 4 p.m. at Amy Park. The Jets playing the Melbourne Victory. Victory are currently sitting in sixth and the Jets seventh, separated by 4 points. How do you think this is going to go? Did you see enough in that game against Brisbane to think that the Jets will be able to travel away from home again and maybe be able to pick up a draw or even a win? Or do you think this might be a bit of a struggle as well?
I am a bit concerned about our next five in general. So you've got, you know, Victory at home or Victory away, which we usually struggle. If that was a Victory at home game, I'd feel a bit different. Then we play Sydney at home, City away, Wellington away, and Western United at home. So I think this next run of five games is going to make or break our season. And to be as positive as you can, it's looking like a forever seventh type deal.
All right. What do you think the score is going to be?
I think it will be a 1-1 draw.
All right. I will go with the 1-1 draw as well. Round 13 in the A-League sees us again. That game follows the W League at Amy Park, a 6:30 p.m. kickoff. Like I said, Sunday the 5th of January. Jets currently sitting in 11th, Victory sitting in 8th, but only separated by 3 points. Victory have obviously really struggled this season to bet in their internationals and adapt to the way Marco Kurz wants them to play. I don't have any stats for this game yet. It's a little bit too early in the week for Dave to be putting up the stats, but keep an eye on the Newcastle Football Net website, and there will be a match preview posted on that page, which will have all of the game stats and interesting facts and all that sort of stuff around the game. This game is interesting. Like you said, we do tend to do better against Melbourne Victory at home. We tend to struggle away, especially in the A-League. Do you think that with the issues that Victory have been having, we might be able to get something from this game, or do you think it's going to be similar to the Brisbane Roar game where we can probably jag a draw, but we don't really have enough to win?
Yeah, I think at this stage I want to be positive that we'll come away from the game with something, but realistic that we may not necessarily come away with 3 points. Interesting scheduling again that we're, you know, in Melbourne for this game, then come back for a week and then go back down again. But hey, that's the A-League and that's what we put up with.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the form's pretty similar with this. We've both had three losses, two wins and a draw. But the Victory did win their last game, whereas we obviously drew our last game after three successive losses. So a little bit better form slightly for the Victory. They had a draw and then a win. So, yeah, they've really been struggling. Marco Kurz is really under pressure. Their team really only performed in the derby. That was the sort of last game that I remember that they've done anything decent in. So it's definitely going to be an interesting game. I'm hoping that this is a game where the Jets are going to be able to get one over on Victory, because it's, you know, we've really struggled every time we've gone away down there. It'd be nice to sort of start to reverse those things and not have to continually just go, oh, we're travelling to Melbourne, they're going to lose. So, hopefully that's not the way this game's going to go. Can you see any changes in starting 11 for us, or do you reckon that what Ernie said before, he's going to be going with the same team and hoping that the team's going to bet in a little bit better, and Bobby Burns is obviously going to be good for the hit out this week, so hopefully we'll be looking for even more of an improvement and a bit longer performance from him against Melbourne. So you think that there's green shoots, or you think that we're probably just going to have to tighten our belts and wait to get players like Arroyo and Hulihan back?
Yeah, I can all but guarantee that we'll see the same lineup. We have, we currently have two players that are taking up bench spots that are known to be not 100% in Kane Shepherd and Bugard. So that says a lot about the sort of depth that Ernie has to play with. So,
yeah,
you'll see it stay the same. The only change that might occur is a Ridenton or Fitzgerald getting their spot, but I think Ernie is very much a, like, Langlois is not going to bring him in for one game and then take him off again. Look how long he stuck with Ridenton before he sort of made that decision. So, yeah.
Yeah. Well, again, like we've said quite a bit of the time, he's very reticent to heap too much pressure on young players. So I'm hoping that maybe this is all part of the plan. He'll give him a couple of games and then pull him back, because he did a sort of similar thing with Thurgate last season. He had him in for a few games and then sort of phased him out and put him back on the bench again, just to give him sort of, just to sort of ease him into it, rather than just giving him a full run of games and seeing where he went. He's sort of in and out, just to sort of ease him into it. So I'm hoping that maybe either we'll see a better performance from Paddy. Obviously he's a great player and we want to see the best for him, but if he's not fully up to it in that position that he's being asked to play, then maybe going back to having Canner and Stevie in the middle of the park and putting Fitzgerald on a little bit further up might give us a little bit more of a attacking option. So what's your score going to be, mate? What do you think their score is going to be?
I will have to go with the 1-1 draw.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I thought too. I'm thinking a 1-1 draw as well. All right, we'll go through the remainder of the fixtures in round 13, which kicks off on the 1st of January, New Year's Day. So the same day you're going to get this podcast is, am I looking at the W League or am I looking at the A League? No, I'm looking at the A League. So West Sydney versus Brisbane Roar on Wednesday, 7:30 PM kickoff. Brisbane obviously still equal points with us, but only ahead on goal difference. Western Sydney sitting in seventh, playing at Bankwest Stadium. What do you think the score is going to be there?
I think Western Sydney will get a 2-1 victory.
I think that as well. I will go with exactly the same score too. Friday the 3rd of January at 7:30 PM sees Melbourne City facing Western United, a Melbourne derby of sorts. Melbourne City sitting in second, but a fair way off Sydney FC, who are 9 points ahead of them. Western United 2 points behind Melbourne City in third position, but struggling of late. Lost to Wellington Phoenix last weekend. So I actually think Melbourne can do a little bit more damage to Western United's chances this season. But I actually think they might end up running out 3-1 winners in this game. And I always thought this was going to happen to Western United with the age of their squad. It's they would start well, but they would tail off, especially when it's over the Christmas New Year break. It's in the middle of the heat and all that sort of thing. What do you think is going to happen in this game?
Yeah, I think over the next couple of weeks is when we're going to see the from second to eighth, ninth, even like that, pretty much from second down on the ladder, there's only a win or so in it. So I think we're going to start to see the top two break away like we usually do. So I'm predicting a 2-1 victory to Melbourne City in this game.
Yeah, well, Western Sydney's in seventh spot on 14 points and Western United's on third spot on 17 points. So there's a whole log jam of teams in there separated by one, two and 3 points. So, yeah, that's definitely going to be interesting in the next couple of weeks. Saturday, 5 PM, Wellington Phoenix hosting Central Coast over there in Wellington. I think this is going to be a Bodie special, 4-0. What about you?
I will say that it will be a 4-2 victory to Wellington Phoenix.
Okay. And the last game on, sorry, the second game on Saturday, I thought there was three, there's only two. The second game on Saturday, 7:30 PM, is Sydney FC facing Adelaide. Like I said, Sydney FC way out in front. So we really want other teams to start taking bloody points off them to, you know, knock them off a peg or two. Do you reckon Adelaide can do it, or are they still struggling? It's $4 for Adelaide to get up over Sydney, 190. So it's they're long odds.
It's one of those games though that Adelaide, you know, would probably end up getting up for, but I think it will be a 3-2 victory to Sydney. And as far as I'm concerned, if Sydney FC win the Premier's plate, that all but guarantees that someone else will actually win the toilet seat at the end of it. So I'm all for them getting a bit ahead, because I we all know that in Australian sport, it's grand final day that matters.
Fair enough. I think it'll be a 2-1 win to Sydney FC. All right. Well, all I need to do now is thank everybody for participating, subscribing, listening, joining in over the course of 2019. We really appreciate it. The podcast is obviously a labor of love for all of us that do it, and we really thank you for joining us. And we hope you will continue to join us in 2020. Andy, I hope your New Year's Eve / New Year's Day is a suitably celebratory one.
Oh, I'm sure it will. I'll probably be in bed by 8:30, but that's a good start for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Mate, really appreciate you coming on tonight, and big thanks for you joining us this year, and look forward to having you on again in the future pods coming up next year.
No worries at all. We'll see you next year.
All right. Thanks very much, guys. Really appreciate it. If you want to subscribe or listen, like we said, the Jetstream is broadcast on Football Nation Radio via the app or their website Thursdays at 12 p.m. Streaming. You can stream the episode on newcastlefootball.net via Spotify, via TuneIn, or you can download the podcast on Apple, Google, Stitcher, Podbean, or just search Jetstream in your podcast app. All right. Well, thank you very much for listening. And until next year, which is only a couple of days away, vamos el Jocos.
Go the Jets.
And we were all saying, who wins? Oh, I'm down. Thank you, man.